Earlier we were discussing the shortage of organic grain here in Australia, which means it's getting difficult to buy organic chicken, organic bread and a whole host of other products. It's a problem that hundreds of millions of people around the world would really love to have. One in eight people worldwide go hungry because they can't afford to eat. In 2003, Catherine Bertini was named the World Food Prize Laureate for her work on ending world hunger, and she's in Australia sharing her views on the prospect of the looming global food shortage. Catherine, welcome to Bush Telegraph.
Thank you very much, Cameron.
How should we end world hunger?
Well, one key ingredient to ending world hunger is investing in women. Women are the cooks, they are usually the farmers, they are the people who fetch the water and the firewood, they take care of the children, they know what the family needs. And if we pay more attention to the roles of women, we can help them to decrease the hunger in their family. If we multiply that many times over, it impacts the whole country.
What does it mean to say invest in women, though? What type of action are you talking about?
First is something that costs no money. It just means more attention, and that's a question of policies. I'll give you an example. In some countries, there are programs where radio, like yours, is used for extension. I don't know if you do any of that. Do you?
Years gone by used to be done, not so much now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in many parts of the developing world, that same concept is being used that used to be used here, where there would be a half an hour show, for instance, once a week to tell people about how to grow tomatoes, for example. So every week there's a different discussion about now you should be doing this with your tomatoes. What is critical to that success is that the radio station in advance does a survey about when people listen to the radio so that they can, of course, do the programming at a time when the people who are going to be planting tomatoes can listen. But even more important to that is for them to know when the women and when the men listen to the radio, because women are the ones that are going to be planting and growing the tomatoes. So if the women and men listen to the radio at the same time, who controls the knob? It's that simple, right? But if you don't know the answer, you put the radio show on the wrong time, you've wasted everything.
So other than controlling the radio knob, what are the men responsible for if it's the women that are doing all this work?
Well, the men have certain work in certain cultures and certain communities, and the men have others. But women are the majority of the farmers around the world still. Men do a lot of farming, but women do quite a lot. But women always have the double burden of working during the day in farming or somewhere and taking care of the family and the household and the children. So it's a double life, and if we can make programming so that it helps a bit, it'll help the women. Another example, girls often have to fetch water to help their mothers. Well, why don't we site more wells at schools so that it can help encourage the girl to go to school and she can bring home water when she comes back from school. Very simple, but it'll make a difference.
So if more women, and we're talking predominantly in developing countries here, are involved in agriculture, does that overcome the problems of shortage of arable land that we hear about, shortages of fresh water and all the other restraints on increasing world food production?
No, of course not. There are a lot of issues that impact food production, but one of them is labor. And to the extent that we can help maximize the contributions of women and men in the labor force, then we can help at least alleviate that piece of not properly utilizing a resource that can really make a difference.
But when we talk about world hunger, what are the root causes? Is there just not enough food to go around, or is it the people that need it aren't getting it?
There is enough food now, but it's an access issue. So of the 850 million people who don't have enough to eat on any day ever, they're very poor. And they grow from generation to generation continue to stay into poverty. So in other words, if a girl is 16 years old and she has a baby and she hasn't been adequately fed during her lifetime, she's not going to give birth to a healthy baby. And then that baby if they don't have enough nutrition in the first 1,000 days, which is defined as as from conception until a baby is two. If a baby doesn't have enough nutrition during that space of time, then she or he is never going to be strong enough as an adult. So it's generational. But when we think about those 850 million people, we have to know that that's roughly the same amount of people who were desperately hungry in 1970 when the population was half as large as it is now. So there has been incredible progress, mostly because of agriculture development. Just think of the region around us, of Indonesia, of South Korea, of Vietnam, of so many other countries where the economy is so much better now than it was in 1970. And people are better off and less hungry.
But those 850 million people that are hungry, which is a huge number, is it because they're living in poverty, they don't have the money to buy food, or is there simply just not the food there? There's no access to it.
Mostly it's because they can't afford it there, or they don't have enough land to grow it. They therefore don't have access in any way to food or to very, very limited consumptions of food. And of course, if you have very little money, you buy the most food you can in the largest bulk that you can, if you can afford even that. So it is not necessarily the most nutritious food. If it's, for instance, a high starch diet with very little protein, because protein's more expensive. So it exacerbates the health issue of the family. As a family becomes a little bit more well off, then the purchasing power increases and the choices available to the family increase in terms of the kind of food that they may buy, which includes more protein-based food.
You're hearing here from Catherine Bertini, who was named the World Food Prize Laureate in 2003, has also headed up a number of food programs around the world to alleviate hunger, amongst a host of other things. Catherine, you mentioned agricultural technology. Last week on the program, we had Mark Van Montague on, who was one of the men responsible for developing the technology to make genetically modified crops a possibility. What role do you think GM crops or genetic engineering plays in increasing the nutritional content of food for the world's hungriest people?
It plays a very, very significant role, and if it didn't, it wouldn't be so well used in countries like India and South Africa and Brazil, countries where agriculture production is increasing by leaps and bounds, as is the nutritional value of much of the food that is grown. And it is one of the answers to longer-term needs, because it helps not only enhance the nutritional capabilities of food, but it also enhances production in many ways.
So in order to feed the projected population of 9 billion, what you see the answer being greater technological prowess, if you like, as well as changing behaviour and politics and economy and liberating women?
There are a whole range of issues. And as you said, as you started your program, the issue of whether or not there's enough organic food is a problem that only we in wealthy countries have, because others can't yet afford that choice. Mm-hmm. And there are many, many challenges to overcoming hunger. We can attack those in different ways, depending on what our skill sets are. And for people like your guest last week, he has been able to be successful doing that with certain kinds of products. What I'm talking about is the success that we can all help create if we support women. And one of the ways we support women is being sure that all girls are educated. In so much of the world, still, girls don't finish even primary school. And it's important for us in the Western world to be able to continue to support countries in the developing world who want to see more girls in school but have not yet been able to achieve that. And that's not just about access to an education system, but it's also deals with issues like safety. When we see what happened, for instance, in Nigeria with the terrorists who are holding girls, kidnapping them from schools. If you thought your girl was going to be kidnapped when you sent her to school, would you send her out the door? No.
No, absolutely not.
So we have to support efforts to do away with that kind of terror so that we can encourage more girls in school. But that's not just because some very bad guys in one country have done that. Sometimes girls are afraid to go to school just from walking from home to school, or how the teacher might harass her. So there's a whole lot of issues that every country needs to be sure they're on top of and addressing to make safe places for girls.
So some are questions just of basic safety, but some also of empowering people, empowering women. What role do you think the corporatization of agriculture is having, and the fact that in many of the countries we're talking about, the idea of land ownership is probably not a reality?
Yes, when you look at the totality of production of any given country, we're still looking in developing world of the vast majority of the resources being produced by smallholder farmers. And as they become better off, of course, there are less smallholder farmers, and some of them become bigger farmers, some of them sell to other farmers. And, of course, then at the top of the pyramid, there are corporate farms, and in some cases, countries that purchase rights in another country to farm their land and ship the food home, the latter being probably the most problematic. But in any good operating system, there are corporate farms, there are medium-sized farms, there are small farms, and there are smallholder farmers. But in the best system, of course, we hope over the long term to eliminate subsistence farmers who have to grow only what they eat.
So ultimately be able to trade the food as a commodity. Look, it's such a big issue for you, the average person, to wrap their head around. Now, you're in Australia talking about it to raise the awareness of the role of women in trying to alleviate world hunger in particular. What would you expect, or would you like to see your average Australian do to contribute to this cause?
Well, number one would be to support efforts by the Australian government to lead on this issue. Australia has such a wonderful reputation around the world. One big reason is because of its success in agriculture, the history of agriculture and how it helped build this country, the exports that Australia now undertakes in agriculture. The research that Australia has done not only on Australian agriculture but also on developing country agriculture, the universities and their capabilities in Australia, these are all very highly regarded aspects of Australia from those of us on the outside who look at what Australia has to offer. So leading with those issues and helping to share the knowledge, the university knowledge, the scientific knowledge, the research and development knowledge with developing countries is crucial. And I would hope that people throughout the country would support and encourage the government to do such things. Right now, there's a G8 meeting, or G20 meeting, rather, coming up in Australia. Australia is hosting this meeting of important countries from around the world. And so it will be important how Australia presents these issues to the rest of the world, because it's not all on the back of Australians. It's on the responsibility of every government in every country to be highlighting, for instance, the role in agriculture, how private sector can help promote agriculture, how governments can help promote agriculture, how non-governmental organizations can help promote agriculture, and how investing in the people who work in agriculture, primarily women, can make a difference. Mm-hmm. So Australia can lead, and the people of Australia can help it lead.
Good note to leave it on. Thanks very much for coming in today, Catherine. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Catherine Bertini, who was named the World Food Prize Laureate in 2003.